What up, DMV? We're live and local on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. It's Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. with you for 3 hours, and we got a lot to get to. The Commanders' second preseason game yesterday, there was some good, there was some bad, and there was some ugly. We, unfortunately, are starting with the ugly, but I promise you, there was good from yesterday that we will get to, but we got to get the ugly out of the way first. The ugly was very clearly the offensive line with the starters. I was hoping yesterday that we were going to see Jaden Daniels for more than 3 plays. You were hoping, if you wanted Jaden Daniels to play, that we would see Jaden Daniels for more than 3 plays. We only got 3. And the reason we only got 3 is because the offensive line, specifically the interior of the offensive line, was atrocious. There is no better way to put it. There might be worse ways. If you have a synonym for atrocious that you think better highlights the play that was actually worse, please, I would love to hear it. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. We're going to open up phone lines in about 10 minutes here on the show so you can get everything off of your chest that you need to as it relates to the offensive line. But they were abysmal yesterday. And it's really just the interior. It's really just the center position that cost the team the drive, that cost the team the opportunity to get more plays and more reps for Jaden Daniels in real game action. There's one theory that I will not subscribe to that I did see tossed around a little bit yesterday. I wanted Jaden Daniels to play. I was happy that Jaden Daniels played. The theory that I will not subscribe to is that you can't play him out of the fear that he is going to get hurt with this offensive line. This offensive line is the offensive line that's going to be protecting him and charged with protecting him in a few weeks when real games start. So you got to get him reps with this offensive line. Now, with that said, I'm really hoping they make some changes. I'm really hoping there are a few new bodies in here in the next couple of days and weeks, that Adam Peters and the powers that be have been working the phones nonstop. Maybe they're sending carrier pigeons sliding into DMs of retired players. I don't really care what the form of communication is. They need another center. What Julian Good-Jones did yesterday was not up to the standard that it needs to be for this team to achieve what we are hoping they achieve in 2026. For this team to achieve what the expectation inside the building is that they are going to achieve in 2026, in a way that completely shuts off any chatter about is somebody on the hot seat. I don't currently believe anybody is on the hot seat in the building, but a bad season makes it really tough to dispel that. And if the center play yesterday is what we are going to be forced into watching against our will for the entirety of the season, those conversations are going to get very, very loud. What we saw yesterday was unacceptable. And the thing that stinks is that it did feel like the rest of the offensive line had played pretty decent. But if you can't get the interior right, you're going to be in trouble. And I was watching this morning some of the All-22 of the first 3 plays. I watched some of the stuff on defense too. We'll get to that later. But I watched the first 3 plays on All-22. And it looked bad in person, in real time, on my television screen. It looked worse with the All-22, but not the first play. So the first play is what it was. Center completely misreads a stunt. There's pressure in Jaden Daniels' face immediately. He makes a good throw, throws it away, live to see another down, avoid getting sacked. Play number 2, not really the offensive line's fault. That's John Bates just missing on a defensive end that got in Jaden Daniels' face immediately. That one stunk because Treylon Burks was wide open. That was going to be at least a 20-some-odd yard gain, maybe more, depending on what he did after he caught the football. But Burks was wide open, so the play was there on the second down. It just didn't happen. The third down, though, is what is most worrisome to me. Because what happened on the third down, and I thought this was the case when I was watching it in real time, and the All-22 confirmed it, the interior, really, Julian Good-Jones, got beat again on third down with pretty much the same thing that they ran the Lions on first down. It was a draw play for Washington, and in real time, I was watching it, and I was like, damn, the Lions got into the backfield really, really fast on that draw play. And I understand, like, with a draw, you kind of, sometimes you kind of want them in there so you can get the running back going the opposite direction, but it felt like the defensive line was in the lap of Jaden Daniels very quickly. And with the benefit of the All-22, they ran the exact same thing just on the other side. So if you're looking at the offensive line on first down, it was the right side of the Lions' defensive line that ran the stunt to get past Julian Good-Jones and get to Jaden Daniels. On the third down, it was the other side. So it was the left side of their defensive line that ran the same thing, and he didn't recognize it, and Chris Paul had to come over and help because he recognized it, and that's the only reason that they didn't actually touch Jaden Daniels on that third down. They were going to blow to smithereens a draw play because they did not, the offensive line was not prepared to handle a pretty basic concept from a defensive line perspective. And that's kind of what hurts the most here. The Lions weren't running anything that was super complex. They weren't running anything that was really dynamic that they were disguising. They ran a pretty basic concept. And at first I thought, all right, there's one of two things that happened. Either A, the center did not recognize what they were doing and it wasn't communicated properly, which is a fixable issue. You hate to see it in general, but it's a fixable issue. Or it was B, which is that he did recognize it and then he did not have the speed and athleticism necessary to properly handle what he recognized. I do think it might actually have been this weird combination of both of them, where he didn't recognize it and then he also does not have the speed and comfortability at playing the center position at the NFL level to be able to handle what Detroit was doing, and they weren't playing their starters. I mean, the guy that was in the backfield on the third down, the draw play, was a sixth-round rookie from Texas Tech. Maybe he ends up being a world beater for Detroit's defense like 3 years from now, and we can look back and say, hey, I remember when he almost blew our quarterback up on a draw play in the second preseason game of 2026. Maybe that's a conversation that's going to happen on message boards and on Twitter if Twitter still exists in like 3 years. Maybe. But in reality, for what you're facing right now, if a sixth-round rookie from Texas Tech is blowing up or nearly blowing up a draw play, what is going to happen when it's Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, or when it's Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark, who you see the first 2 weeks of the season? That's an awful, awful concept to think of right now, isn't it? That's an awful, awful set of circumstances to think about when you realize this season is really, really important for the quarterback. This season is really, really important for my mental sanity and for your mental sanity. I don't want to deal with another 2025 with a quarterback who's constantly running for his life and beaten, battered, and bruised because the interior offensive line can't communicate well and can't handle basic concepts on the defensive line. You know, they got rid of Tyler Biadasz, allegedly, because there were communication issues. Because they didn't feel like he was up to standard with what their standard was for playing interior offensive line. And here we sit here in 2026, two preseason games in, looking at the options at center, and it's Julian Good-Jones, who basically everybody is now out on at the moment. It's Nick Allegretti, who doesn't have a long history of playing the center position, and through the first few weeks of training camp, hasn't been healthy. Or you go with Matt Golbin, who for the life of me, didn't really get any reps at center, or not nearly as many reps at center as I would have wanted him to get through the first half. They put him at guard. I don't know why they're not running him with the ones in practice more frequently, because I can tell you, he's not getting a lot of reps with the ones in practice. It's primarily 61, and then when Nick Allegretti came back, it was primarily 67, who was ramping up to getting reps with the ones in practice before he re-aggravated himself. But they drafted the center in this year's NFL draft, and it feels like they want to move him to guard. No, put him at center. Move the other guy to guard. At the very least, Golban was playing center in the Big Ten last year. Does that mean he's automatically going to come out and be his all-pro center? No, but for the love of everything that is holy, please try the guy who is a natural at center at center. You can't just keep having this thing blown up, because the reality is one bad, very weak leg on the offensive line completely ruins it. Yesterday in the Day household, we do Saturday cleaning. I know some people clean their homes on Sunday to get like a fresh start for the week. We do it on Saturday. My wife likes to do it on Saturday. I say, yes, honey. And we had an issue in our refrigerator this week. Something stunk. We didn't know what it was. So on Saturday, we're like, all right, we're going to figure out what the hell is stinking in the refrigerator. And we're looking all throughout the fridge, man. We look at the top shelf, nothing. We look at the middle shelf, nothing. And then finally, we get to the drawers where we have some produce. And in the drawer where we have some produce, we have this bag of apples that admittedly somebody, me, bought and then forgot they were in there. But one of the apples in the bag had gone super rotten. And what had happened was it had gone super rotten, and then all the other apples around it had started to go rotten as well. We had to toss the bag. But I feel like that's a metaphor for what's happening with the offensive line. Because you know who played really well yesterday? Brandon Coleman. You know who played really well yesterday? Sam Cosmi. Josh Connerly played well yesterday. It really was the one bad apple in the middle that completely threw off the offensive line and threw off the mojo of the offensive line that led to the primary starters, Jaden Daniels, only playing three plays. And if you're going to trot him out there in a preseason game, I am of the belief and the expectation that he needs to play more than just three plays, because what are you really accomplishing in just three plays? But that didn't matter. They had the plan. It's one series, and that series went sideways immediately, and that's all we got to see. I don't expect Jaden Daniels to play in the final preseason game, so the next time that we see him in live reps is going to be against Philadelphia that has Jalen Carter on the defensive line, Jordan Davis on the defensive line, and a defensive coordinator that likes to blitz, that likes to really get after the quarterback. So if you can't communicate on pretty basic actions on the defensive line in a preseason game where you're going up against guys that are just scratching and clawing to make the team, what is it going to look like if you keep the current iteration of the offensive line when you have a bunch of all pros and a psycho defensive coordinator that's going to send pressure left, right, and center? It's not going to look good. I can tell you that. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. It's your opportunity to weigh in. What were your takeaways from the offensive line? We're going to keep it there. We'll get some other takeaways from the preseason game yesterday later in the show. There were some good, but what did you think of the offensive line? 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well, at the Denton Day. We'll take some more of your phone calls. Plus, I'll give you some names that maybe Washington should be reaching out to today if they haven't already. That comes your way next. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Is D-Day in D.C.? Thank you, Juicy J. We do know what it is. We're reacting to the Commanders' preseason game yesterday against Detroit. They did technically lose, but that's not what we care about here on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We're live and local in D.C. 800-636-1067, the number to get in. Get your frustrations out on the offensive line. I'll let you know, I'm very frustrated with what took place. You can tweet me as well, at The Denton Day. I did come up with a few names who are currently available that Washington, if they have not called yet to address the center position, should be calling today and no later than Monday. They don't practice again, at least in front of the media, until Tuesday. That's their final training camp practice in Ashburn. They then have a joint practice with the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore later in the week, but their final practice in Ashburn is Tuesday. I would be very disappointed if there is not at least one new body on the roster to compete for the position of starting center for week number one when the Commanders take on the Philadelphia Eagles. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's get to the phone lines. I know there are plenty of you on the phone lines that want to rant and rave, or maybe just rant, about this offensive line. Let's start with Sean, who's in Virginia. Sean, what's up? You're on 1067 The Fan. How are you? Sean, we got you. Check 1, 2. Sean, let's throw Sean back on hold. We'll figure him out. John is in Virginia. John, you're on 106.7 The Fan. What's going on? All right, we'll check the phones. We got something going on there. We'll check out on the phones in a second. While we figure that out, I got a couple of names that are available today. You could make the call and put them on a plane today, and they will be in the building as soon as, well, literally in a couple of hours, depending on where some of these dudes live, that come in and immediately, I feel, make the center position not just better, it's a very low bar at the moment, but competent, relevant, and maybe even good. So I looked at SpotRack, right? This is this big, big fun website that takes into consideration all of the available free agents. And there are four guys who play the center position. Not guards that you want to try out at center, that you would like to move. Guys that have played the center position in the NFL. There are four guys that I see available that I think Washington should be calling immediately. The first of which is James Daniels, who is an 8-year veteran who has played the center position. He played last in Miami. He's 28 years old. You could bring him in and immediately get that position better. The big name is Graham Glasgow, who played for the Detroit Lions. He had kind of kicked around the idea of retirement. He's 34 years old. I don't care. Bring him in. Get him in here immediately. I'm not looking, as I look to address the center position, I'm not looking for the long-term answer who's going to be here in like 2030. I need someone that's going to be here and competent for Philadelphia. I need someone that's going to be here and competent for Dallas, for San Francisco in a couple of weeks, for Los Angeles when Aaron Donald is on the team. Like, I need someone that is competent that can play the position now. I don't care about 2027. I don't care about 2028. I care about week one. And if the 34-year-old is the best option and he's ready and willing to come in and play center, you make the call to the 34-year-old. He would be the primary one. Ryan Bates, who last played in Chicago, is another option. Zeke Carroll, or Carell, who last played in Minnesota, is another option. He's only 25. Bring the bodies in. Try them out. See what happens. If they don't work, they don't work. But I find it very hard to believe that any of these dudes that have played this position at the NFL level already would come in and immediately be worse than what we had to witness in three plays against Detroit. Let's go back out to the phones. We got these bad boys working. 800-636-1067. John is in Virginia, wants to weigh in. John, what's going on?
Good morning. Yes, I definitely have share your concerns and share a lot of people's concerns about the offensive line. Agreed. Let's bring the 34-year-old in from Detroit, and also Mr. Decker, who is sitting out there and waiting for a contract. So that would be two big bodies we could bring in right away, get them in here early in the week and get them at least some reps, possibly in the Baltimore game. But we're calling out an SOS here on the line. It is dire, dire situation. Very concerned. So just not getting enough reps for Jaden. Yesterday, three snaps, extremely disappointing. So I'm just very, very, I just have a lot of worries about our start. We've got three games that are going to be tough, and we need to get this thing fixed immediately. So thank you very much for taking my call, guys.
John, I appreciate it. So, John referred to Mr. Decker. Mr. Decker is Taylor Decker, who was a longtime left tackle who most recently played for the Detroit Lions with Glasgow, who I want to be the center for the Commanders. And I'm also open to making that call, because if you go in and get a left tackle in Taylor Decker, who you know is not your long-term answer, you have your long-term guy, or at least the semi-long-term guy with Laremy Tunsil, but it does give you some flexibility to where if you go get two new bodies, if you go get two new bodies and one of them is a left tackle and you force Brandon Coleman into the left guard position, which that's a spot where I feel like he is at his best. I think he's done a good job at left tackle, admittedly, so I'm not worried about him. In fact, Brandon Coleman is quite literally the least of my worries on the offensive line at the moment. With that said, I do feel like if he is your left guard, that's a real strong suit because he can do a lot of different things. He's a very high IQ player, and he's a little bit more athletic than Chris Paul. So you get yourself a nice left tackle in Taylor Decker. You go get yourself a center, and you put Brandon Coleman at left guard, and the issues that you would have with the offensive line right now evaporate, and then we can be joyous. We can be happy. Oh, my God, look, it's going to be so good when Jaden Daniels has a competent offensive line that doesn't have bodies in his face immediately, even on plays that are designed to be run plays. So I like some of the other names that he threw out. I didn't throw out any left tackle names at the moment because I was focusing mostly on centers. I would point out Mekhi Becton, who is a guard who's played at a high level in the NFL. He's played at a low level at times as well. That's why he's still available, but Mekhi Becton, who's a guard, is also available as a free agent right now if they wanted to just bring another guy that they feel very good about into the state of the offensive line. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're taking your phone calls. How did you feel about the line play yesterday in the three snaps that we saw the ones out there against Detroit? Jax is in Maryland, wants to weigh in. Jax, what's up, man? You're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Darren. My biggest thing is you pretty much covered everything on what I wanted to say. But another thing I wanted to say is by Dan Quinn being a defensive coach, he knows the number one thing you got to do is control the offensive line. And I'm questioning what have they been seeing throughout OTAs, et cetera, to believe that this offensive line can compete with our division, let alone the rest of the people on the schedule. Because they know what the schedule is. Do they really feel confident in what they see in a training camp and everything? And another thing is, if we're expecting Superman to be Superman, we at least got to keep the kryptonite away from him. Thanks for taking my call.
Jax, first of all, as a comic book nerd, the kryptonite reference was golden, so I appreciate that. So as it relates to the Dan Quinn training camp thing, there are two lines of thought here. The first line is that they might be a little too nice and they don't have a sense of urgency. So even when they see something that is going wrong, they don't address it quickly. And if you're in that camp with the way that this group operates, we've now had 3 years of experience with them. If you're in that camp, that's totally valid. I do think for this year, it was slightly different in the fact that they really think the defensive line is going to be really good. So when they see guys in camp, I don't know that anyone is like super duper struggled, but when they see guys in camp losing reps, it's very easy, at least in training camp, when you're filled with this abundance of hope. We feel it as fans, but they feel it in the building too. We're not going to lie and beat around a bush and say they don't also feel the optimism heading into 2026. When you're filled with the optimism that you have really done right on the defensive line, which I believe that they have, I feel like it is easy to then look past some of the struggles of the offensive line and just say, well, our defensive line is so much better that maybe this, we just have a top defensive line. I don't know if they have a top defensive line. It's a lot better than what it was last year. It's literally impossible to be worse. But it's two schools of thought with the way that they have operated. I want a sense of urgency. I do want them to start acting like the seat is a little warm. Even if I don't believe that anyone's job is truly in jeopardy, I want them to start acting like the seat's a little warm. Not everybody deserves the privilege to have multiple weeks to ramp up and get better. There are certain guys that do, but not everybody deserves that privilege. If you're going to preach competition, 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 then damn it, if you see somebody losing competition, that needs to be addressed. And we can't just say, well, next week it's going to get better. And then the week after that, we're hoping it's going to get better. You only have so many weeks. And it does feel like, at least to this point, there has not been a sense of urgency with the center position. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're taking your calls on the offensive line. What adjustments would you make if you were in charge? We continue taking your calls. We got a line open for you. If you want to weigh in, you can tweet me as well at the Denton Day. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980, reacting to preseason game number 2 for the Commanders and the abysmal offensive line play. They have a clear issue at the center position that needs to be addressed. I don't believe they've done a great job addressing that position of need. They've had multiple weeks of training camp to realize it's an issue. They have not addressed it. In fact, they started playing a guy they drafted at center in this year's NFL drafted guard in the preseason game yesterday. I know they want to mix and match, but for the love of God, can we please iron out a really important position before we start having guys cosplay as other positions? That would be my, I say, very common sense logical stance on the matter at hand. I'd love your take at 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well at the Denton Day. Let's go back out to the phones. It's where we find our guy Mark in Largo. Mark, how do you feel about the offensive line, my friend?
It sucks. It sucks. and look, let me say this. The guy Glasgow that you were talking about, me and Chris have been talking about him for a month. Chris and I have been talking about him. Chris Russell's been talking about him. We've been talking about him since right before 4th of July that they should go out and get. And you know, look, the last caller who talked about Dan Quinn, this has nothing to do with Dan Quinn. This is about Adam Peters. Adam Peters is always a day late in the dollar store for everything. And then he reacts about the Biotis situation is mind-blowing, why he did what he did. And then when you make an excuse why you didn't get the best center in the league, you couldn't go above and beyond to get him because you had the money. And now look at where we're at now. Look at where we're at now. And I said this on Linnell's show. If Jaden Daniels gets hurt, Adam Peters should be fired. This is not about Dan Quinn. This is about Adam Peters. Adam Peters has totally failed trying to put a team around this young kid. And you've got about 25 to 30 GMs around the league laughing at him. Because they're saying this guy has a franchise quarterback and he don't know how to treat him. Have a good day, Denton.
Mark, I appreciate it. So failing is a very big word, and I don't know that he has failed. I would like him to do more, though. So we are in agreement there, is that I would like him to do more. And you mentioned the swinging and the missing on Tyler Lindenbaum, and I would have really liked to get him. He decides instead he's going to go play for the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Las Vegas Raiders gave him a boatload of money. Well, the Commanders right now still have a lot of cap space. And I think that's going to start to really anger some folks when you look at the amount of cap space that they have right now, which according to SpotRack, and this is before the final roster has been determined, admittedly, but it won't change it entirely too much when the final roster is set in stone in about a week from today, the 30th, August 30th. So literally a week from today is when cutdown day needs to become official. They have about $38 million in cap space. It's fourth in the NFL. And I understand the long-term thinking is, well, we have to plan for the potential of paying Jaden Daniels. We have been shown time and time again by one team in your own division that's a massive rival, and then another team who's on the completely opposite coast of the country with the Los Angeles Rams, the salary cap can be manipulated if you have the funds necessary and if you have the desire to manipulate it. It means sometimes you have to pay guys a little bit more on the front end than the back end and things of these nature, right? Converting, you know, certain dollar amounts to signing bonuses and maybe giving them a little bit earlier than you wanted to. But you can very easily manipulate the salary cap if you want to. And the fact that they have nearly $40 million of cap available, and yet they still wouldn't go out there and sign arguably the best center in the league, or at least a guy that's in the conversation. I mean, Lindenbaum is, in a sense, a guy that you don't really expect to hit free agency at his position. You think he's going to be a guy that's locked up by his current team before he even hits free agency, and the fact that they didn't spend the money on him or just spend it elsewhere. Like, it didn't even have to be him. If they really balked at the price and said, this is far too much money, like, we don't have any desire to pay that kind of money and that kind of capital on a center, there were a bunch of other dudes that were available that they also then decided we don't want to pay for them. I don't know what they saw in Nick Allegretti that made them think he can very easily convert to center, but that was really their only option at the time, and then he got hurt. So it's been a very, very tough thing to stomach watching how they have behaved with the center position. And to what Mark said, it feels like they're always a step or two late. As you look at it more frequently, it does feel like they are moving at a slower pace. And in the first year, it kind of worked because you had a bunch of mercenary contracts. I call one-year contracts mercenary contracts for those that are not aware. But you had a bunch of mercenary contracts that came in, and they really outperformed the deals that you gave them. That's not a long-term way of thinking. That's not something you'll consistently be able to do at the NFL level. You eventually do have to have guys that you want to be here for a long time, and that relies on you spending the money to want them to be here for a long time. Jonesy's in D.C. Jonesy, what's going on, man? You're on 106.7 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Kenton Day. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, man. Hope you are.
Hey, man, after looking at that offensive line yesterday, man, I was pretty much distraught sitting there looking at TV. And I have to agree a little with Mark and Largo. Shout out to Mark and Largo. It's not looking good for us, man. I mean, Adam Peters seems to have a good plan A. And when a good plan A doesn't work out, his plan B is just not as great as we would like for him to be. What is this plan B? I mean, it seems to be an enigma, or they're not very good as what we would like them, like I said, to be. We got to get better because we can't take that up there in Philly come week one. I'm scared, man. We need a better, good plan B. I mean, we got Jalen Carter and that other kid, Jordan, up there. They are going to be in that backfield, man. And it looks like the center is throwing everything off. We practically had, yesterday looking at that game, Detroit's whole front seven sitting in the backfield looking at Jaden waving at him. We got to fix that. And it needs to be fixed ASAP. And like you said, they need to do this immediately and stop moving so slow, because it seems like it's slow to address things. We need this thing addressed so much. As a matter of fact, they need to be working the phones right now while you're even on the radio.
Right.
That's all I have to say, Kid.
I appreciate it. I agree with it. I need them to be going 5 over the speed limit. Right now it feels like, at times, the team is driving in the left lane and they're going 3 under. And if you've ever driven in the left lane, I don't care if it's the Beltway, I don't care if it's Loudoun County Parkway, it's Route 50, it's whatever big roads exist in Maryland. I'm in Virginia, I don't know the Maryland roads. I don't care what road you are driving on, if someone's in the left lane going 3 under, it's not an enjoyable experience. And there are times, as Jonesy mentioned, when plan A goes awry, they just end up driving 3 miles under in the left lane. Like, I don't need you to be Jamin Davis going 114 on Loudoun County Parkway, but if you want to go 50 in the 45, I'm okay with that. Please don't take that too seriously to the cops out there. But if you want to go just a little over the speed limit and have a sense of urgency, I'm okay with that. It feels like, at least at the center position, and they did this kind of with the Terry contract last year, they were just sitting and waiting. And I don't need, you can't just be sitting and waiting. Everybody else is getting better. Dallas has put together a great defensive front with Quinnen Williams, with Kenny Clark. They got two big pass rushers on the outside with Gray and Donovan Azaraku. They brought Von Miller in, who was with this team last year, to basically be player coach to Azaraku to try and make him special. There was no one here that Von Miller could have made special last year. So that Dallas defense is looking very frightening. Philadelphia's defense is looking incredibly frightening with the best defensive tackle combo in football. And then the only good thing about the Giants team outside of Malik Nabers is their defensive line. They got like 6 dudes that can get after the passer at a really high level. They were so confident in their defensive line, they sent Dexter Lawrence's ass packing, who has been balling in the camp so far at Cincinnati. But they were so confident in what they had in their front seven, they felt okay with it. And right now, Washington's about to trot out a center that they don't have a lot of faith in, and that you, me, and everyone who has any sort of fandom or rooting interest for the burgundy and gold can clearly point out and say that is not up to par. More of your phone calls, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You'll also hear from Dan Quinn what he thought about the offensive line, what Jaden Daniels thought about the offensive line. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We're live on the free Odyssey app as well. You can tweet me at The Denton Day. The phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. Weighing in on the offensive line. What did you see? How do you feel about it? Junkyard Dog is in D.C. Junkyard Dog, what's up, man? You're on 106.7.
How you doing, Denton?
I'm doing good, man.
It's like this. If we go back to... the other caller, there were two calls ahead that mentioned about how Adam Peters drags his feet or whatever, and the guy was spot on, because look how long it took him to pull the string on getting Diggs here. If he had waited one more week, I think Diggs would have been gone. He's a slowpoke. Or whatever, and he waits and waits and waits or whatever, and when he has, you know, when he's set in his ways, he's not going to change anything. He very well knows that the team has $38 to $40 million in cap space, but he's not going to spend it. He's not going to spend it, or whatever. And unfortunately. I think Paul Brown who was the coach and owner of the Bengals, mm-hmm. long years ago, before you was even born.
Well,
his number one thing he used to say: you always begin a team with a center. The center is, I'm not saying quarterback is not, but the center, it begins with the center of whatever.
I mean, so here's the thing, and I appreciate the call, JYD. I think you're right. You have to begin the spot with the center. You can kind of get away. If your tight end isn't up to snuff, you can get away with it. If you have a guard that's not up to snuff, you can get away with it. But your center and your tackles have to be up to the standard that you want to play to, because there's so much that is in on them. One, it's the delivery of the football to the quarterback. So that, just from a practical standpoint, is incredibly important. But then two, they're the ones that are in charge of calling out protections, of shifting protections when necessary, of helping the quarterback decipher who is coming from the defense on a potential blitz. And then they also have to block as well. So there's like three really big key things that the center is responsible for. And what Washington currently has, at least now, knock on my desk in front of me is fake wood, but I'm going to count it as real wood. I'm knocking on wood. They're delivering the football to the quarterback fine. So, yay, we got that one. The other two elements of the three-tier checklist here, the other two elements, they're not doing at a good enough level, at least at the NFL level, rather. And I keep going back to this idea of letting Tyler Biadasz go without a real plan in place. I've had a busy summer. I've been traveling a little bit. I've been on some flights. I was on a couple of flights last weekend. And what is one of the number one things that if you go on a flight, you hear during the safety check for a flight? You got to put your mask on before you put somebody else's mask on, which means you got to look out for you before you start looking out for somebody else. And allowing Tyler Biadasz to leave felt like they were putting the mask on somebody else. Hey, Los Angeles, the Chargers, you need a center? Guess what? We're going to cut this guy loose. He can go be your center. We don't have one yet, but we're going to put our mask on you before we start to put our mask on ourselves. And what happened was they put their mask on somebody else, And then they started fumbling with their own mask. And the plane's going, they're fumbling with their own mask. And by the time they finally got their mask on, the options that were available at center had vastly dissipated. They missed out on Linderbaum, didn't seem that interested in Cade Mays. Elgton Jenkins was a guy that was available. And I remember specifically at the time when he got signed, he's the guy that played guard and center for Green Bay that's now playing in Cleveland. I remember when he got signed, I saw some stuff on social media about like, well, he's not like that good, buddy. I'll take maybe not that good right now because what's currently occupying the center position on this roster is bad, like awful, like really, really down in the dumps. So you're passing up on guys that are maybe not the best for guys that you have no idea what they are really like. And the result of that, at least in a three-game sample size with the ones, was disaster. Can't block, can't read the stunts, can't do the basic necessities of playing the position, and it's going to get the quarterback into a lot of trouble. I don't want the quarterback to be in a lot of trouble. The only trouble that I want associated with my quarterback, the guy that wears 5 on his chest in the burgundy and gold, is trouble for the defense. I want them to be squirming. I want the defensive coordinators to be up until 4 a.m. the night before because they can't sleep because they got to go play number 5. Right now, it feels like they'd be going to bed at 9:30. We're just going to send all the pressure up the middle. We're going to bed at 9:30. Vic Fangio is going to have the best night of sleep in the world if the center position is as it currently is right now in Washington. It just doesn't make sense that they have taken the route they have taken at one of the most important positions, because I know they know how important it is. Like, I'm not of the belief that everybody in the front office and everybody in the building is just a knucklehead. These are smart football people. We know that they are smart football people. Yet for whatever the reason is, they are not behaving like they are smart football people. I got a couple of tweets. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. I got a tweet from AQ78. It says, Denton, why isn't Golban getting any looks with the ones? Is it DQ's mentality of not handing rookies anything? Man, I don't have an answer for that. I don't think it's, hey, we're not going to hand the rookie anything. That'd be a pretty silly approach, quite honestly, if that is the approach. That'd be a pretty silly approach considering what 2024 was as a season. I mean, one of the main reasons that we hold the front office in any sort of high regard right now is because they got the quarterback right in 2024, who happened to have one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time. So if they're looking at Matthew Golban and saying, well, he's a rookie, we can't just hand him first team reps, they need to have a rewiring of the brain, because they've been putting rookies out there all the time. I don't have an answer for why they're not giving him the reps. I don't know what they are seeing in him that results in him not getting any of the reps. Because if I had an issue at center and I had drafted a guy, albeit late in the draft, but still, you're not drafting centers in the first round, or very rarely are you going to draft a center in the first round. These are late round picks that you then hope you can polish and mold into being a really quality to really good starter in the NFL. If you drafted a guy this year who played the position, I would at least give him a shot in practice. And they haven't done that a ton. He has gotten some reps at center with Hartman and with Ethan Kaliagmanis, but he wasn't getting a ton with Mariota when Mariota was healthy, and then with Jaden Daniels. At times, like Trey Hill was coming in and getting more reps than Golban was, and that was always confusing to me. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You'll hear from Dan Quinn. He did speak on the offensive line following the game yesterday, and so did Jaden Daniels. What did Jaden say about the way that the offensive line is gelling? You hear that when we get back. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980.